your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Okay, good evening, everybody. It is definitely a Monday night. That's all I have to say. I am now in full convincing that the work week is now Monday and then Saturday and Sunday. It's just a week long of Mondays. I am Michael O'Neill, the host of the Odyssey Files, which you're listening to right now. With me, having the same kind of day as my co-host, Dave Steuering. Am I correct in, that assessment?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love Mondays. You know, the Boomtown Rats nailed it right on the head, you know, with that song, I Don't Like Mondays. You know, that's just exactly how it is. It goes Monday and then maybe a half of Friday and then the weekend.
Yeah, and even the weekend sometimes, you know, where you have to work, it just becomes an extended part of Monday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So not to rein in on anybody's parade who's having a good day today. So Dave and I, we had the schedule for us to actually be interviewed by a high school student who's doing a paper on paranormal investigation. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen scheduling conflicts, she was not able to do tonight. So that is actually getting postponed to next week. So we kind of had to hustle and bustle and come up with a show for everybody. I think we actually have a good one. We are actually going to be talking tonight about Hollywood and how it kind of it was the inspiration and how it brought the paranormal into the mainstream far better than it ever, you know, was before they got involved in it.
Yeah. So, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that. thank you, Rebecca. So we're going to start off with probably one of the all-time best paranormal movies that it even created its own genre, and that is the found footage of the Blair Witch Project.
Absolutely. Fantastic movie. I know I've heard people say they hated it because of the way it was shot. Yeah, I get it. Some people, you know, with the jittery camera and stuff like that, you get, it's difficult to watch. But that movie really established itself as, you know, an amazing turn in what horror stories and horror movies had been. And they became something else overnight, with that movie. You know, that movie was screened at Sundance in 1999. So it was at the Sundance Film Festival. And the two guys who, the brainchild of it, you know, they had a $30,000 budget. When they marketed the movie, they actually marketed it at Sundance as with missing person posters, like legitimate missing person posters for the people who were in the movie, as well as like these crazy stories of like a hermit that they discovered that came down out of the woods and said, okay, my time is over. I'm turning myself in. And he had killed seven children. And he said that the Bell Witch made him do it. And, you know, they took all of this great, really phenomenal forward-thinking marketing material and turned this little tiny $30,000 shot on a handheld camera in the woods movie and turn it into a major phenomenon. And like you said, obviously that I'm pretty sure, and I'm going to go on record as saying I'm 99% sure that was really the first found footage movie. I can't remember anything off the top of my head, like whether it be Horror Story or not, that had a found footage type of theme to it. I think that was really the first one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and going off on the whole missing persons posters and what they did, I mean, they went all out for this. I mean, I'm not afraid to, or not ashamed to admit that I really didn't know whether this was real or not, you know, because they pawned it off as being 100% real. They created, you know, this entire myth surrounding this thing. And I didn't even know this at the time, and I don't even think I've even still seen it. But somebody told me, like, right after I saw it, that they even came out with, like, this hour-long documentary about the people, you know, the Heather Donahue and this Michael, and I think the other one was Joshua. You know, how this Heather Donahue was obsessed with cameras and, you know, filming everything, and that's why she filmed everything. And I was like, holy crap. And I even found this this website when I was doing research for this. There's a page about the mythology where they have an entire timeline as to what happened and when, and brought in like the police reports and how they wanted to classify all of this footage until 7 years had passed, and then they would release it to the families. I don't think before or since anybody has gone to such lengths to try and build this entire mythology around a movie.
Yeah, 100% agree with you on that. And I think that some of the people who would say that they didn't like the movie probably don't know the whole story like behind it. And I think you really got to understand what the guy's visions, what their vision was for this show, and the amount of, kind of, like I said already, you know, forward thinking, not to sound redundant, but, you know, kind of like they were ahead of their times with how they kind of threw this movie out there. And the movie itself is actually scary. You know, I mean, if you put yourself in that position, you're out in the woods, it's dark, people are kind of disappearing. You know, when I first saw it, two of the scenes stand out to me that, you know, I'll never forget ever. When she's in the tent and all the little kids' hands start patting the outside of the tent, you know, I was like, holy, you know what? If that was me in that tent, man, I'd be like ripping through the door and I'd be out of there, you know? And then obviously the other one was when they actually found the house. You know, that house was creepy as hell.
Yes, it was. It definitely was. And I don't really like, I mean, now it's a little different, but back then, you know, I wasn't an investigator. I didn't know any of this. This was the absolute first movie shot like this. I was blown away, not only by how it was shot, but like I was generally just creeped the hell out. And and I think that that's because it was shot that way, and because there was such that uncertainty about whether this was real or not. Because, I mean, if you look at this as being true found footage, you're like, oh my God, they got tortured out there. You know, they got driven insane in the matter of like 5 days.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to say this too. My critique is my critique, you know, I mean, but the new Blair Witch, don't waste your time on it. It sucks. Absolutely horrible. I actually went to the theater and saw it, and I thought, you know what, I'm not expecting a lot out of it, but I thought, you know, they're going to do a remake. The first was so good. Let's see, you know, they're going to, like, improve on that. It was absolutely miserable. I mean, I don't even know why I stayed to watch it. The first is 100% better than that remake is. But I tell you the thing, too, about this movie that really kind of got us kind of thinking about it when Mike and I were talking about this yesterday was, you know, this story is kind of loosely based on the Bell Witch. OK, so the Bell Witch was a real American Haunting. It's documented. There are signed affidavits. He wasn't president at the time, but Andrew Jackson was actually at the Bell family farm and was, you know, the cart was, we can go into it, but like when he arrived, he came there with a group of individuals because he wanted to see exactly what was happening. And as he was coming down the road to go to the Bell farm, the wagon actually stopped and he couldn't get the horses to go any farther. They tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and the wagon would not move. And he got out of the wagon and exclaimed something to the effect of, "It must be that damn Bell witch." And as soon as he said that, they were able to proceed down the road and actually go to the house. And she actually communicated with them at that point, I believe, and said, "I'll see you again later tonight." So all of this is documented by people that are, you know, future president of the United States of America. Pastor that lived in the neighborhood or lived in the village, and John Bell's best friend who was kind of a skeptic and then came over to the house and spent the night and witnessed the beatings and the, you know, heard the singing of the hymns and hair pulling and people getting slapped and smacked around, and it was absolutely intense. It's an absolutely intense thing.
He actually experienced it himself. His name's James Johnston.
Yes, that's
who,
him.
Yep. Who went over. Him and his wife came over when they were told of this, and he got the covers pulled off of him that night, and then was smacked around. He was slapped repeatedly, which was something that was happening to their 11 or 12 year old daughter Betsy. That was what was happening to her. She was getting her hair pulled. She was getting smacked around so severely that they was causing handprints and bruises like all over her face and body.
And
that's just a little bit, but yeah, you are right about Andrew Jackson. He as soon as he said, you know, it must be that Bell witch, you know, he heard this female voice say, "Okay, now you can proceed. I'll see you guys again. I'll visit you guys tonight."
Yeah, later tonight. Yep.
And it actually so happened that the men, one of the guys said that he was a witch tamer, and that the reason why nobody was experiencing anything at that time was because he had a gun with a silver bullet, and that silver bullet could kill anything paranormal. And I don't think they used that word at that time though. No. And as soon as he said that, he got the crap beat out of him. He felt like he was being stabbed with needles all over and being punched. And then he got what appeared to be kicked in the nether regions and was like thrown through the door.
Yep.
And everyone at that point in time wanted to leave.
Yeah. Right? The guys were like, "Let's pack her up. All right, let's pack her up. We're out of here."
but you know, Andrew Jackson said, "No, we're going to stay." And even though it's not really known what happened during tonight or during that night, they said that they were seen early morning going on their way. They didn't even stay the night. But nobody really knows what happened.
No, right. And I don't think it. I think pretty much Andrew Jackson took that one to the grave. But you know, that just the fact that there's, you know, written testimony, signed affidavits, sworn in, and that this case, still to this day, is the only truly documented case of a paranormal entity killing a human being.
That is correct.
It's the only case that I'm aware of that is actually documented. That there's rumors going around, obviously, of other things that have happened to people, but this is the only case, I think, you know, that is the fact that John Bell was killed by the Bell Witch.
Yeah. They, after he died, which was, December 20th, 1820, they found like this bottle of blue liquid in the cupboard, and nobody had any idea what it was. And, they actually heard her say that quite joyously that she claimed that she had fed him that the day John Bell the day before, and that it fixed him.
Yep.
And that, you know, she was constantly vowing and chastising him and cursing him and vowing to kill him.
Yep.
And yep. And they actually fed this liquid to the cat as an experiment and killed the cat instantly.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, they say that John Bell died of poisoning. And so some of the skeptics out there are like, well, you know, he just died of poisoning. And that's, you know, that was natural causes, you know, whatever. It was an accident. He accidentally ingested this and blah, blah, blah. No, that's not, you know, that's just the skeptic's mindset of what happened. You know, this is the actually, this is the case. And now that, you know, and I've known about this case for a long time, and it's always intrigued me. And I really want to make a trip down to Tennessee just to kind of go check this place out myself. I guess the whole place is preserved. You can go to the plantation. You can go to the actual house. You can go to the cemetery where the guys are buried. You can go to the actual homestead is still there. And then, you know, you can go to the Bellwitch Caves, which supposedly are still haunted, you know. And some of the paranormal teams have been there, like Ghost Adventures has been there. I don't think Taps went. I'm not sure. But... but, you know, it'd be an interesting trip to go down there and just kind of firsthand see and experience kind of what that area feels like.
You know, I'm kind of seeing a theme from our shows in that every episode now we're proposing that we need to go on a trip.
That's okay.
That, you know, I agree. I really think that we should just start this fund and just send Mike and Dave wherever they want to go fund.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll document the heck out of it. And we'll come back with absolutely amazing information about everything that's going on. And probably knowing us, we're going to come back with some evidence, you know, definitely some EVPs. So.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, the reason that this Bell case is being brought up during the show is because of An American Haunting, the movie.
Right.
What was based on this story, or about one of the theories of this story,
right?
The prominent
theory.
Yes, and yep. I have actually never seen it. I don't even know if I've heard of the Bell Witch, but I had no idea that they had actually made a movie out of it. So I have actually never seen it.
I haven't either. So don't feel bad.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're doing really good.
I had heard of it and I knew it was out there, and I watched a couple of the trailers on it today when I had a little time. And I read some of the bio stuff on it and the background on it. You know, it's a unique movie from what I've read in the sense that it's not gory. It doesn't have a lot of blood. There's no nudity. And there's no foul language.
Then it can't be a Hollywood movie about the paranormal.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking, too, is because, you know, you always have to have nudity and foul language, and you got to have some gory scenes, and this has none of those things. So, interesting. The thing that I thought was the most interesting about what I read about in the bio for the movie is that, and I don't know if this is in the actual book, because, let me see if I have that written down, because there was a book, and I don't think I wrote the name down, but there's a definitive book that was written like 1894 that is like the definitive guide to the Bell Witch. So, but in this movie, An American Haunting, one of the theories that shows up at the end of the movie is that John Bell actually was having incestual sex with the young girl.
And that Betsy?
With Betsy, and that the witch came to Betsy's aid. So while she was punishing Betsy for allowing it to happen, she had vowed to kill John because of what he was doing. And that's kind of the thing that, I guess the movie takes that kind of tone towards the end of the movie. Not to, spoiler alert. Sorry, it's a too late.
That's all right. But I don't think that it would have ruined my enjoyment of it.
No, right. No, mine either. I mean, and that's when I read it. So, but I definitely think that, God, you know, if that was the case, wouldn't that be the perfect ripe kind of negative type of thing that would be happening that would possibly draw an energy like a negative witch to show up and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong and I'm going to stop it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she did.
No, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, many people would attribute this type of activity to like being demonic and stuff like that. And, you know, this torture. And the thing is that this witch was singing hymns and she we actually,
the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. She was, she sang hymns. She quoted scripture. She yep. carried on intelligent conversations. And she even quoted once word for word, two sermons that happened on that day at the same time, 13 yep. miles apart.
Yep, I read that too. Yep. And, so I don't think she's demonic. I am absolutely 100% pretty sure that she's not a demon. She's not a demonic entity. She's more of like an avenging spirit in kind of how it sounds, especially if that story about John Bell, you know, having inappropriate relations with his own daughter is true. You know, that would be the perfect recipe for an avenging angel type of spirit. So I don't think that she was, definitely don't think she was a demon. I definitely don't think she was like conjured up from hell. You know?
No, I don't
either.
But
she was mean. Yeah, she was mean.
Well, she was definitely mean. She had like that nun personality of, you know, you're going to punish everybody instead of just one person.
Yep.
But you know, it almost seemed like this entity, and you almost can't even call it like witch is used loosely because she obviously wasn't like a witch, but she obviously transcended time because she was known that after she had killed John, she came to Lucy, who was the widow, and said, "I'm going to visit you in 7 years," and then disappeared. And then 7 years later, she returned, you know, as promised. And actually, her visits centered around John Bell Jr., but not in any sort of negative way. According to, you know, like the story, she talked to him about the origins of life, civilizations, Christianity, and the need for a mass spiritual awakening. And then she disappeared again after she said that she would visit John Bell's his kin, his oldest kin in 107 years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And it was like way down the road. Yeah, 107 years later. Yep.
And at that time, and that should have been 1935. And you mentioned how books were being written. His oldest kin at that time was a doctor and actually wrote a book in like 1931 or something like that about the Bell Witch.
Okay.
And then he actually passed away in 1934, a year before the Bell Witch was supposed to return to visit him.
Oh, well, that was kind of screwed up timing.
Yeah, I agree. So I have, obviously the story got lost there. Nobody knows if she actually returned.
Yeah, and I would definitely say if any of that is true, and even if you just take a grain of that and consider it to be the truth, then for certain she was more of a, like you said, you know, using the term witch kind of lightly, more of, like I said, you know, like an avenging angel, you know, like she was possibly she was an angel, and they just didn't know what an angel was. And they probably figured, well, you know, an angel isn't going to come down here and beat the hell out of us, right? I mean, so, but at that time, you know, and not getting into the whole religion thing tonight, but, you know, God was a vengeful God. So it definitely could be, you know, an angel coming back and saying, hey, you know, what you're doing is inappropriate and you're going to pay for it. And your daughter should be, not allowing it. And, I mean, that would make perfect sense and tie into John Jr. and her, you know, coming back and talking about everything you said, you know. A mass awakening, scripture, you know, blah, 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 everything that's going on. And that's all positive. None of that was negative.
Yeah. I mean, and to bring us back full circle, I mean, this is probably the very first paranormal movie made, you know, an American Haunting based on true events, you know, based on a true story.
Yep.
I mean, up until, obviously, you know, in the last couple of years with The Conjuring and Conjuring 2, I mean, and you can even add in the Amityville Horror, which I don't think was kept exactly, you know, how it happened, but I'm sure they probably kept it close. But, you know, it was a phenomenal story. I don't think that a lot of people who watched it probably didn't even know that it was actually like based on a true story.
Yeah. And probably not, you know, although a lot of the reviews that I read said that people enjoyed it, you know, that they thought it was good. Now that we're talking about it now, of course we got to watch it. I got to watch it, you know, just to see what it's all about. And I think I got to get a copy of that book and actually take, you know, sit down and take a read on that book of the timelines and the whole Bell Witch thing and see if maybe our theory that it wasn't really a witch is true. You know, maybe reading it, we'll be able to digest it and kind of read between the lines and see if maybe it's not a witch per se.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was actually very, very interesting. So we're going to take a break. We're about halfway through the hour, and we will be back with our next Hollywood movie. You are listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator. My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond. Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Right. Jeff.
Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para X Radio.
All right, gentlemen, we've got to come up with a radio ad for The Calling. Ideas?
How about something with lights and dancing?
It's a radio ad.
And we could hand out muffins!
How about you guys?
We have some great ideas!
Shut up! Its ideas are stupid!
Not listening! I'm not listening!
Guys, not helping.
Well, I don't think the content matters, as long as it features me! Oh, boy!
Then you could be riding a sailboat!
Really?
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt, but... what if we just let the information speak for itself instead of using some crazy gimmicks?
We could have a petting zoo!
The Calling, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Central, only on Parax.com.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
This is Elizabeth Say, and you're listening to Dave and Mike of Odyssey Files, the best paranormal radio show to come out of Minnesota yet.
Okay, is there really anything that Elizabeth Say can't make sound better? Like this show? we're back, obviously. Running about 4 minutes behind due to some technical difficulties, but no big deal. We're going to move on to our next movie, which I believe started, I don't even want to say it started its own genre, but I think it started, it certainly started a lot of memes. I think it kind of brought more of a conversation into the mainstream as to what actually is paranormal and what you can consider the supernatural part of it. And that is The Sixth Sense. I think over the years, a lot of people have gotten tired of talking about The Sixth Sense or referencing it. But for its time, I think it really revolutionized just how people looked at it, where maybe the supernatural wasn't so scary. And, you know, that there was another aspect to it that I don't think a lot of people thought was possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I know when I first saw the movie, I was kind of, it was good. The whole thing was really good. And, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, you know, and where's it going? Because it's got to go somewhere. And I'm kind of like following it. And then it gets to the end and I'm like, wow, that just totally blew me away. I didn't even fathom that to be, where did that come from? I didn't even think that was a possibility to be an ending of a movie, you know? but it was, that's what was great about it, was it showed, you know, that it showed the other side of the veil like it was normal life, which was cool as hell. It was very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and for the first, and I will not be ashamed to admit it. I was fooled. I did not get it. I did not get that, spoiler alert, he was dead the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, and people had to point out certain things. I'm like, but he was at dinner with his wife. And they're like, yeah, but she didn't actually talk to him.
I'm right.
Like, you're absolutely right. He just talked to her. And then they made it seem like, you know, she was mad at him for being late and how he was losing this time. And she was just like, happy anniversary, and walked away. But yeah, absolutely did not get it. And, you know, if you listen to the directors who did this movie, they're like, all the clues are right there. Like, I can't believe that nobody's getting this. And, I did not. I did not see that coming.
No, I didn't either. And you know, the interesting kind of thing is, you know, as that movie, and now it's been a while since I've seen it, so, you know, I didn't have a chance to watch it here prior to us bringing it up and talking about it tonight. So it's been quite a while. But very interesting that the boy, even though that he was having the visions and seeing dead people, even though he was dead.
Wait, no, the boy wasn't dead. Bruce Willis was dead.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't have any visions. It was the boy that was able to see him because he was dead.
Got you. Okay, I got you. All right. So, because the one thing I'm thinking is that when they're like in the school and the boy sees the two people hanging.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, you know, was that a premonition then? Was he seeing something that happened in the past, or was he seeing something that was going to happen in the future?
No idea. I mean, they didn't really go into that. I think they put that in to just kind of for like creep factor. Just, I mean, you could almost take it as it being he's seeing residual type energy.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But you know, and it brought in not only the aspect of maybe the paranormal and the supernatural wasn't, you know, didn't have to be scary and it didn't have to be, you know, horrific, but it brought in like photography. You know, where the mother is looking at all the photos and he has like this bright light right behind him and like every single one, and EVPs. I mean, I don't think this side of like The Conjuring and whatnot, where EVPs were never even brought in. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, if you turn up your recorder all the way, there's voices there that should not be there.
Yeah.
You know, this is obviously once again before my investigator, you know, career and whatnot. So I never heard anything like that. I didn't know that stuff existed, you know, where you could ask questions into a recorder and actually hear spirits talk to you. Had no idea that that could even be possible.
Yep.
Yep. And so it just brought in all of this different aspects of the paranormal that I don't think was ever seen before or maybe even thought of.
You know, I was just thinking as you said that, and you're right in the fact that, you know, I totally was spacing off there when I was thinking that the kid had passed too. So my bad on that. But, you know, it totally brings in the whole, like, Bruce Willis being dead, the kid seeing him, and them being kind of buddies, and it not being a real scary situation for the kid, you know. And I totally get what you're saying now about the, you know, about the fact that it made seeing a ghost more of a commonplace event versus just traumatic, let's run out of here screaming, it's going to kill us or hurt us, because that's not the case. And as you know, as we both know, in many instances that we've been involved in, that's not the case. You know, that the entities that we've spoken to, they're not there to hurt us. They're not chasing us out of the building. They're not trying to do any harm to us. They're just there trying to pass along a message, you know, or they're just there because for that moment in time, they're there because they really enjoyed that location, you know, and they're coming back because they want to be there, not because they're trapped, not because there's a demon holding them. It's not always about the good and evil battle. It's and a lot of people like to portray it as that, but that's not what it's about. It's, you know, just people that have passed, your energy still survives, and you go back and you check out places that you really enjoyed, you know, and people like us just happen to be there at the right time with the right equipment and had a conversation with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it even brought to the forefront, and this has actually been documented a few times by like paranormal groups, although I don't think it's really accessible in a court of law, but spirits can actually solve their own crimes. You know, if they were murdered and whatnot, and it showed it in the movie. You know, it had this really creepy girl that just freaked the hell out of everybody the first time he saw her. And then all of a sudden she's, you know, pushing this box forward and it's, you know, the solution to her murder. And, you know, and it's saving her sister. And it's as a paranormal investigator, yes, it's a very entertaining movie. And the people that aren't really involved in this field and whatnot can go out and enjoy it regardless of whether they know anything or not. But now that I'm an investigator, I think about this movie, I think I enjoy it even more just because, like, that boy, you know, that the character that boy is playing is able to do, you know, what we all want to do, you know, as investigators. We all want to get to the truth, and we all want to, you know, if there's been a crime, we all want to get that evidence and that message that solves it, or that brings peace to the people that are still living. And, you know, so now for me, it just, and in this field, it just, it's so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. Yep. And I got to throw this in there because, you know, as you were talking earlier about this movie, and I know we didn't talk about this, so I'm kind of just throwing it out there.
Sure.
The movie White Noise with Michael Keaton.
Never saw it. I heard it was good. I heard it was right up my alley.
Yeah.
But I have, in fact, I think I own it and I never watched it.
Haven't seen it yet? Okay.
Never watched it.
The cool thing about that movie is you were talking about EVPs and how EVPs really hadn't been prominent, you know, and stuff like that. You know, the gist of that movie is that his wife dies in a tragic way, tragic accident, and he can't let go. And so he does some research and finds a guy that kind of mentors him, and he starts doing things to record, and he does it on VHS cassettes, and he records basically white noise from a television set. And he starts getting some things happen to him. And as the movie gets more and more intense and stuff like that, he starts getting, it almost creates kind of like a portal in some respect, so that the white noise, he wants it to be so bad, you know, and we've seen this before, like in real life, somebody wants something to be so bad that it becomes its own entity. You know, it becomes its own thing. And, you know, you and I have experienced that with clients. And, you know, this movie kind of just does the ultimate betrayal of that type of idealism where, you know, the energy that you're giving is so powerful that you are creating something new. And I'm just throwing that in there. So I know I'm off in left field because we hadn't talked about that earlier. So it just came into my head when you were talking about EVPs and movies, but great movie. If you haven't seen it, it didn't get great reviews as far as the professional movie critics are concerned. I don't care about them. You know, great movies are what individuals think are great movies, you know? And if you like the topic of like really kind of wild, out in left field paranormal events and really intense kind of drama, that's a good movie. Good movie to watch. And Michael Keaton plays a really good role. So,
yeah, I just, for whatever reason, and I really don't have anything against it like at all. Or like that, you know, the reason that I'm not watching, it's just like, white noise. No, you know, let's go watch, you know, Pacific Rim or, you know, Godzilla or, you know, something like that.
Major blockbuster with, you know, all CGI, green screen, special effects. And yep, I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I used to say this, to people I was trying to, like friends of mine that I was trying to convince, to maybe come on an investigation with me and, you know, to for them to see what it's like. And, they're big horror movie fans. A lot of my friends are. And, like they wouldn't go only because, you know, they were going to do something else. Or they're like, oh, I'm going to just stay home and watch movies. I'm like, do you want to watch a horror movie or you know, a supernatural movie or whatever? Or do you want to come with me and live it?
Yep.
You know, and be in the movie, you know, pretty much and never convince them ever. So I think that's why I kind of steer away. Like I watch them brand new ones, like, you know, Love the Warren. So I watch, you know, The Conjuring. If I'm bored on Netflix, I'll throw in, you know, like Grave Encounters if I want to laugh at them, mock Zach Bagans.
Right.
You know, it's just, I do this stuff like hours and hours and hours a week, and it's just, maybe not a paranormal movie.
Yeah.
don't need another couple of hours dealing with the exact same stuff.
Well, you know, next time I come over, we'll have to throw that in and watch it because it's been a while since I've seen it too, and it's got a great ending. So
yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's on my list, just a list that is growing longer and it keeps getting pushed down.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of movies that I haven't seen in a while, and especially ones that it almost created like a subgenre, because if you take the Blair Witch Project as like the mother or the creator of the found footage,
yep,
then, you know, creating that genre, and you have to say that it did, because I mean it expanded beyond the supernatural. I mean, you have movies like Cloverfield.
Right.
And, you know, all of these other movies that were done as found footage and handhelds and
yep.
and whatnot. But Paranormal Activity, you know, that movie as the found footage created its own subgenre.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Fast and the Furious of the paranormal.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Phenomenal movie. Not so much the ones that have gone beyond that. I mean, you know, as a whole, they all have good parts to them, you know. But the first one, absolutely great movie, you know. Just the legitimacy of the actors that were in the movie, the things that were happening, the fact that it was getting documented with, you know, the home security system was like keeping track of everything that was going on, you know, up until that time. Maybe there were, you know, maybe, but people weren't talking about it if there was, but there really wasn't anybody coming out and saying, hey, you know, I reviewed my home security footage and my front door opened and closed by itself 12 times last night. And, you know, the knives in the kitchen block ended up in the cupboard door 28 feet away. Nobody was saying anything like that. And the reason people don't say things like that is because people are they're afraid that everybody's going to judge them as being nuts.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, but I think it was one of the, obviously, from the found footage in like handheld type aspect of it, it was probably like the first movie that, and, you know, and I could be wrong, that brought that activity into your home.
Yep.
And
I would say that's good.
And it wasn't a trailer park or, you know, it wasn't a bunch of rednecks and, you know, it was a normal husband and wife, very happy and nice home and everything is in perfect place and they're in love and it just turned into this hellscape, you know, obviously for them and everybody knows how it ended. But I mean, and I think once that came into view, I think it almost started being like, well, maybe it would be okay to tell people what's going on in my home and that, you know, maybe something like this is actually possible.
Yeah. And I think you're 100% right on it right there, because I think that movie could be considered the icebreaker movie for the floodgates that were opened that we're dealing with now, where and taking that with a grain of salt in the fact that a lot of activity that people think, oh my God, something's in my house. I'm not going to throw a percentage on it, but a majority of that stuff is debunked, you know, whether it be heating or plumbing or a drafty window or rodent activity or a cat or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a lot of things that we've looked at even and gone into houses and listened to all the claims and stuff like that and been able to say, okay, well, this is what it turned out to be. But I think that movie, you know, really became like the gatekeeper door opening for, you know, I had that happen to me too. You know, I heard something weird and I looked and my front door was open. And then I was like, well, how could my front door be open? And then I turned around and the front door was closed, you know? And so people are going, hey, wait a minute, man, that happened to me too. You know, I'm not crazy. I saw it in a movie, but hey, you know, that happened to me too. And I think that in that respect, it definitely deserves itself in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, but I wonder how many couples watch that movie and then, you know, the girlfriend or the wife or whatever, just to freak the husband out, like got up in the middle of the night and just would stand over him until he woke up
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, that relationship would be over pretty quick if they thought that was funny. Because, I mean, she was standing there in that one scene for like 3 hours or something like crazy like that. And she's just standing there like 3 hours standing over the top of him. And I'm like, okay, you know, how did the dude not wake up? You know, you got to be able to sense that somebody's standing there staring at you for 3 hours. You know, the thing that I thought was really kind of an interesting little point in that movie was when they were in the attic because they heard the noise in the attic. And when they went up there, and she found that half-burned photograph of her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I mean, that little piece of evidence probably carries more weight to a paranormal investigator watching the movie than to anybody who's not in the field who watches the movie or who has seen the movie. You know, what a great little piece to throw into that movie. As far as her having something that's following her and kind of marking her and saying, you know, like, here's a little something special for you. You know, I'm here. I'm real. I'm going to leave you this gift. It is just creepy. You know, that was a creepy scene. Not as creepy as the ending, you know, when she's walking up the stairs and it takes her like 10 minutes to get up the stairs. And it sounds like she's slamming 100-pound concrete blocks on every single stair. And I'm thinking to myself, are you going to make it to the top of the stairs anytime soon? What is going to happen? The poor dude, he's in the room. He's unconscious. You know, he's all messed up. What's going on? You know, are you coming upstairs? Are you not coming upstairs? Are you just going to stand there and dance around on the staircase, make all that loud noise? And then finally, when she made it up to the top of the stairs, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's not good. Yeah. No.
I mean, no, that's and not all, good. And all of that is after, you know, the husband came flying through the doorway and across the room.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. He's dead. He might still be all right.
Yeah, he was a goner. but what a great ending, you know. I think that a lot of people related to that and said, hey, you know, maybe our ending isn't like that, hopefully, you know. But, hey, we had some weird stuff going on that we didn't understand, and we were too afraid to talk about it because we were afraid to be judged. And now mm-hmm. it's out there in front of millions and hundreds of millions of people have seen the movie, and now it's out in the open. And so now it's okay. Now we can talk about it a little bit and tell our friends or tell our pastor or tell our brothers and sisters or mom and dad, hey, something weird happened at my house the other day.
Yeah. And for the record, for me, they kind of destroyed their own genre by continually trying to make Paranormal Activity movies. I mean, it got out of control after a while. I mean, they're doing, I think they did like a vampire type Paranormal Activity type movie, and I stopped after Paranormal Activity 3. I couldn't make it anymore. It got so out of control and fake, and it almost became a mockery of number one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It almost became like the Scary Movie to me, you know, like where they did the spoofs on it, you know,
yep.
And they made fun of all that stuff, which if you like the paranormal and you like comedy, those are funny. Those are absolutely hilarious.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, those are absolutely hilarious and fun to watch. But I agree with you 100%. They beat that kind of series to death. No worse than the Fast and Furious did, though, because I saw the most recent one.
I actually haven't.
And it's just, oh my God, it's just horrible. I don't know how it's making so much money.
Because it's of just, reputation.
It is. I mean, but that movie series just needs to go away, you know? So, I mean, there's a couple of good scenes, but overall it's like, it just does not pay tribute to the first couple, you know?
It's almost paranormal as to how it's still making money.
I like that. Yep. I like that.
See what I did there? Yeah,
I did. You put the twist on the non-paranormal movie and threw the paranormal twist on it, therefore making it something we could talk about on a paranormal talk radio show.
Yep.
I like
nobody that. Nobody but Dave can see it, but I am taking a bow for that one.
You are. Yep. He is. Good test for that.
So we only have a few minutes left, about 6 minutes or so, a little less than that. So, I mean, I don't think, even though it's not a horror movie in any way, shape, or form, I don't think we can talk about paranormal movies and how Hollywood kind of brought it into the mainstream without mentioning Ghostbusters.
Absolutely. Fantastic movie. Both of them are. I was kind of against going to see the remake. I was like, I'm not going. There's no way it's going to be any good. The original was so funny. The first one, you know, the guy, it was just so good. And then I saw the remake and, you know, I enjoyed it. So I guess.
Nope. Uh-uh. I have boycotted that movie. I said absolutely not.
Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it and I don't intend on seeing it.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad.
You know, don't get me wrong. I have every respect. I'm a huge fan of like Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy and all of the actresses that were in it, but they turned what was a very funny but also like a serious with a great plot line and everything, and you couldn't have made a better paranormal movie, especially at that time. And they turned it into some slapstick CGI over the top. And to me, it has nothing to do with the actresses or the fact that they used, women Ghostbusters, but the writing and the whole premise of what they did to the remake, I don't agree with, and I refuse to watch it.
And that's kind of what my stand was too. I like the women that were in it. I just was like, I just didn't like the concept of doing the remake of it. And then I was forced to go see it. And I enjoyed it. So
yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, going back to the original, I mean, even though, yeah, like I said, it was a comedy. I mean, they brought in parapsychology, which I don't even think I'd ever heard that word before.
Nope.
And he's got a PhD in parapsychology. What? I had no idea what that even was. I mean, even though they called it a PK meter, I mean, that pretty much is almost what a K2 is now.
Correct.
I mean, it took all of these concepts of like real concepts of the paranormal that nobody had any idea even existed at that time, especially me, and actually like put it into a movie in a correct way.
Yep. And I'll tell you the thing I loved about that movie, and I think that it's a direction that the paranormal field is going, and I think someday we're going to get there, is the actual capture of an entity.
We're all working on it. I mean, there's the Devil Toy Box.
Yep.
I mean, that is supposed to be able to do it. But no, I agree. And I look forward to that day. I will spend my money on that device.
Yep, I will too. And I've got somebody I want in that box. So I have a special invitation for something that I am going to hold. My life's purpose is going to be complete when I put it in that box and put it in display for everybody to poke it and prod it and look at it and laugh at it and do whatever they want to do to it for eternity. And that I'll be a happy man. So,
yep. No, I completely agree. I mean, I don't necessarily have anybody specific that I want to put in it. Obviously any spirit that is evil, I want to do it too, but I mean, they mean no harm to anybody. I have no intention of capturing them and putting them into some sort of containment, putting them in prison for not really doing anything.
Nope. Mine definitely deserves to be there. Yeah.
Yep. Nope. I completely.
Mine deserves to be an Alcatraz. So yeah.
I completely agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
I think maybe in the next 25 years, I think that might actually come to fruition.
I hope I am still here to see it because I'm looking forward to that day.
Absolutely. So that pretty much does it for us. Like we pretty much say every show. You or anybody else knows anybody that could use some help or maybe just some advice, you can obviously reach out to Dave and myself. You can reach us at Odyssey Files Radio on Facebook. My team Facebook page is Odyssey Paranormal Society, odysseyparanormalsociety.com. You can get in touch with me, in touch with Dave, listen to some of our cases. It's actually a pretty sweet deal. And any of these shows that you want to listen to will also be on there. So I bid you good night. I hope that you have a much better evening. Next up is going to be Mr. Matt Gesso with the Paracaves.
Yep. And I just want to say good night to everybody. And, have a great week. I hope it gets better from what our Monday was.
Yes, absolutely. So from all of us at the Odyssey Files, have a good night.